Well, amen to beautiful music that brings us to this point in the service. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, you're thinking, that sounds like Christmas. And it's Mother's Day, and by the way, we're not going to ask you to stand or recognize the oldest mother or the mother with the most children. Back in the old days, we did all that. In my younger days, the pastor, the same lady won it every year for years until she finally passed on. And it was good, though. I missed those days, but it's a different era. Mothers, we love you. I certainly love and miss my mother's. Chip was right on target. I miss her. I just sometimes want to pick up the phone and used to call her and talk to her. And she had some good advice, good encouragement. Mother's Day. We're going to take a break from the spiritual it factor next week and then moving on. Maybe even right through Father's Day, we'll talk about the spiritual it factor. I always do a Mother's Day message, but not necessarily always a Father's Day message. I'm not sure why that is. We probably will see how the Lord leads and what's going on at that point. But Luke chapter 1, focus on moms. In fact, we're going to focus on the most famous mother of all time. Who would you think the most famous mother of all time is? Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? We've got a lot to say, but I'm going to read these verses and then we're going to delve into this passage of Scripture. We'll start with verse 30. Remember, Gabriel visits Mary in Nazareth. Okay, I'm setting the context. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son and shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." I'm going to read that one more time. I love that verse, don't you? "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done according to your word." And the angel departed. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. And I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations in my heart, will be pleasing in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Just speak through me, Lord. I pray for a holy anointing. Anything that in my life that would any way hinder this message, forgive me, cleanse me, use me, Father, especially during these critical moments ahead. In Christ's name, amen. You know what an acronym is, don't you? An acronym is, I always get acronyms. And what's the other one? Starts with an A, some acrostic. I get those mixed. Any English specialists out here? I think this is an acronym, like MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Is that an acronym? NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration. DARE, and I can never figure out what that one meant. It's the one against drugs. DARE, D-A-R-E. You remember back at Thanksgiving, we did an acronym. Anybody remember what it was? Don't you remember the Thanksgiving message? Wasn't that long ago. Thinks. Thank God. And then I don't remember what they all were. I know the first one was thinks. The first one was things. And the second one was helpers. The third one was adversity. The fourth one was kindness. But we need to move on, right? Time is slipping away. Mother. M-O-T-H-E-R. Let's do an acronym, okay? You ready for this? Every letter stands for a word. It spells mother, and it characterizes Mary. And by the way, you guys out there, I say this every Mother's Day. Don't shut down and be playing with your phone and think, this is for mothers, this isn't for me. This is for everyone. All of these principles apply to all of us, okay? Not just mothers. But it is a Mother's Day message, and we look at Mary, the most famous mother of all time, and talk first that Mary exuded morality. M stands for morality. Verse 30 says, you have found favor with God. We go down to verse 34, and Mary says, how can this be? How can I give birth to this child? I am a virgin. So when I think of Mary, I think of a moral person. Mary was a virgin visited by Gabriel. She was pure. She was chaste. She was untainted. So much so that Catholics, and I'm always careful here, I'm not here to put down and question other faiths, but we know this is true. The Catholics have by and large deified Mary. We don't do that as Protestants. They've deified Mary, in fact, calling her the Queen. I would never speak disrespectfully of Mary in any way, but we don't deify her, do we? The Holy Spirit is God. Mary is not God. We pray to God. We don't pray to Mary. We magnify her, but do not deify her. She is the epitome of morality. Truly faithful mother. And that is an encouragement and a challenge to us all, right? Not only mothers, but to all of us, to exude morality. We seem to be living in a world that is slipping further and further into immorality. All the more reason mothers and all of us need to characterize morality. Now, we know we can't earn our way into heaven. It's only by the grace of God through faith. However, we need to exhibit behavior. And we need to look at Mary as a person who I think stayed pure and strong throughout her life. We're going to see some of that later as we move on. So what does M stand for? M stands for morality. We got five more to go, don't we? Oh, I love this one. Most people don't love it. Oh, I don't love always trying to characterize it. I love preaching about it because it's such a challenge, and that is obedience. Oh, that's not a fun word, is it at all? Who likes that word? Nobody likes that word. Obedience, and yet it's absolutely necessary. I love this. Don't miss this. When the angel came to Mary and said, this is what's going to happen, did Mary say, oh my, no way, why me? Is that what Mary said? What did Moses say? God, I mean, what if they don't believe me? God, I'm not a very good speaker. Oh, Lord, I don't think I can do this. What did Jonah say? I don't know what he said, but I know what he did, right? God said, go east. And Jonah took the first boat west, didn't he? But not Mary. I love this. Please don't miss this. Verse 38. In Luke chapter 1, Mary is challenged by Gabriel, and she says, I have it highlighted right here with my green highlighter. May it be done according to your word. Wow, isn't that awesome? Should we not say that every single time we hear a sermon or close up our Bible or encounter God in prayer? May it be done as you have said. 33 years after this point in the Garden of Gethsemane, her son grew up, and he was about to go to the cross, and it was the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was sweating literally drops of blood. he was in anguish, and he said, "Oh Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." And aren't you glad he followed through? Aren't you glad he followed through? One of the great verses in all of the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Simple, profound. Saul was a bad boy. Saul had messed up as a king. I'm not going to go into all that. It's a fascinating story. But suffice it to say that Samuel came along and said, to obey is better than sacrifice. It's in the Bible, folks. Fact check me on that. 1 Samuel 15:22. To obey is better than to sacrifice. I know a man. I'm very close to this person. He says, "Todd, I don't understand. I mean, I do a daily devotion. I do two or three daily devotions. I tithe. I faithfully serve in the local homeless shelter. I don't understand. Things aren't going my way. My prayers are not being answered. I'm an unhappy person. Why?" Well, I can't pretend to play God in this matter, and I'm not his Holy Spirit, but I think, here's what I want to say. And it's tough because he's a person very close to me, and I've tried to advise him, but I want to say, here's what it is. You're sacrificing, but you're not obeying. You understand the difference? You're sacrificing. You're doing things for God, but there's things going on in your lifestyle that are displeasing to him. And that may not necessarily be God's judgment, but there is a difference. Do you understand what I'm saying? Absolutely. There is a difference. There is a time. We're in a time. Understand, outward compliance is not the same as inward change. Please understand that. Outward compliance is not the same as inward change. What was it, one of the main things that God had against those people of Israel? He spoke against them. They angered him and they frustrated him because he said, "You worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me." Oh, folks, I could just preach on this for the rest of the day and start back in next week. The church, you know. There's a lot of outward compliance going on, but I'm not sure there's a lot of inward change. I hear about all these great things, but I hope and pray that hearts are being changed on the inside. Do you understand the difference? Sacrifice is a great thing. It is a great thing, but the Bible says what it says, and it says to obey is better than sacrifice. And whatever that means to mean to you, I pray the Holy Spirit sheds that truth on your heart. Sacrifice is important. But the Bible says what the Bible says. And Mary was a model of obedience. She said, "May it be as you have said." Okay, you ready to move on? For T, what does T stand for? T stands for testimony. Testimony. Listen to this. Mary's assignment quickly became Mary's announcement. The Bible says, and I'm going to pick out some other verses in other places, but the Bible says that when she found out the news, she hurried to Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, to share the news. You know that, don't you? If you're familiar with the Christmas story. And you know what I've discovered? I have discovered that the people in whom God is working, is that correct English? The people in whom God is working can't keep quiet about it. you understand what I'm saying? They may be shy, they may be introverts, they may be people of few words. But if God is working and doing something, you're going to find a way to share the message. It's just true. Because what happens? I fill a glass up, and a glass gets full, and then I keep pouring out of the pitcher, and there is what? Overflow. Don't you love that word? Overflow. Gosh, I pray, and I, you know, it hasn't been enough in my life, and I want it to be more. I want it to be more. And you pray for me that it will be more. But I want to minister in the last third of my life, and I hope I'm two-thirds through. I want to minister out of the overflow. This isn't duty. I'm not, you know, operating out of guilt. I'm not putting a little notch on my belt. It needs to be out of the overflow, doesn't it? It comes out of the overflow. Mary was overflowing. Let me give you some examples from Scripture. Jesus found Andrew. And what did Andrew do? He found Peter. And what did he say to Peter? We have found the Messiah. These were good Jewish boys, faithful fishermen. We have found the Messiah. Philip found Nathanael. And he said, we found the one about whom Moses and the prophets wrote. And the woman at the well that had five husbands and was living with a man that wasn't her husband, who got so excited she forgot and left her water bottle at the well and ran into town and said, come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. You know what happened? Read it. John chapter 4. Many people believed. What if she had not gone and spread that message? Do you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony? If someone were to come to you and say, you're different. Something different about you. You don't seem to be worried or you don't seem to be troubled by all this COVID stuff. You don't seem to be bogged down about this or that. I mean, there seems to be a peace about you. What are you going to say? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just lucky, I guess. Oh, no, don't waste an opportunity. A testimony. Oh, we don't talk about that much anymore, do we? Everybody needs a testimony. I'm going to begin. You pray for me. I'm starting tomorrow morning teaching evangelism. This is a new venture, part-time at Athens College of Ministry. First day, I've been teaching for decades, but not in the academic setting. This has been somewhat of a challenge getting used to this. You know, it's a different setting. But I'll tell you one thing. We're going to talk about evangelism. And one thing we're going to do during the course of the year is I want to hear your testimony. We're going to all listen to each other's testimonies. Charles, I had a senior moment. Who's this hymn writer? Wesley. Charles Wesley became a believer. He'd grown up, I think he was around church, but the light came on. And he was, I think, maybe he was a shy sort of fellow. I don't know. And he told somebody, well, this is what happened. I suppose I better keep quiet about it. And the friend said, oh, no! No! If I had 1,000 tongues, I would go and use every one of them to proclaim the message of Christ. And so what did Charles Wesley do? We need to sing that, don't we, someday? Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Oh, boy. Do you have a testimony? I hope you do. How long has it been since you shared it? Share it with somebody, even if it doesn't have to be a lost person. That'd be great, but just share it. I'm anxious to see what's going to unfold in this class. Excited about this. So we're doing pretty good on time. MOT, what does H stand for? You guessed it, humility. Mary's announcement became Mary's Magnificat. Well, that's a word, isn't it? What is Magnificat? It's in my Bible here. It says the Magnificat. Did I pronounce that right? All I know is, I don't know really what it is, but I know what it says. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regard for the humble state of his bond servant. Mary is like the last person. You see this trend in the Bible? David, the youngest, the least likely one to go out and fight Goliath. And here's Mary. I mean, who would have thought a young, teenage, unknown gal from the small town of Nazareth would end up being the mother of the Son of God? I don't think it went to her head, did it? She was humble and she stayed that way. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I love this little story. We talked about Charles Wesley. How about William Carey? He's the father of modern missions. Brilliant linguist. Translated the Bible into parts of it anyway, into no fewer than 34 languages. He raised in a simple home, and kind of a person of low birth, if you know what I mean. Other side of the tracks kind of guy, apparently. So he was in India serving over there, and he was at a dinner party, and a very snobbish person said, "I understand, Mr. Carey, that you once worked as a shoemaker." "Oh, no, your lordship. I was not a shoemaker, but only a shoe repairman." Just a little glimpse into the personality and character of that person. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. And humility is a weird thing, because I don't think you can wake up and you can say, "Well, God, I'm going to be humble today." I don't know if it's something you try to do. I suppose you have to make an effort to be that way, but I know this. I heard this and I wrote this down, and I love this. I don't know who said it. Somebody, I don't know who comes up with this good stuff, but humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Think about that. Let me say that again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself. Don't you like that? I know it's not scriptural chapter and verse, but it's certainly scriptural in principle. Because there's a lot of false humility floating around out there. And, you know, a lot of people, and you know, use self-deprecation, you know, if it helps, you know, facilitate the point and so forth. But true humility, you know. When Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist said what? We don't know a lot of what he said, but he said, "He must increase, I must decrease. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and tie his sandals." Isn't that amazing? Humility. Mary, I mean. God could have gone to the big cities and to the wealthy and selected another person, but he didn't do it that way. He chose humble Mary. All right, time slipping by. Doing great on time. I love that. I never had one of those ever in all my years, but I love it. MOTHE. I love this. This is why I preach this message today, because I wouldn't preach it if I didn't love it. And I love every point. You know what E stands for? I hope you came today with E. You know what E stands for? Anybody know? See, I don't have them up on the screen. If this was back in the old days when I had lots of help and lots of stuff going on. I was around every day of the week. We'd have pictures and we'd have outlines and PowerPoints. Now we're just kind of working with the bare minimum. But you know what E stands for? Expectancy. E stands for expectancy. Did you come here today expecting anything to happen? Did you just come here and think, Sunday morning, church, I guess I'll go. Why not? Don't have anything else to do. You know, we hear a few songs. And did you come here expecting anything to happen? Maybe it'll be overt. Maybe it'll be something visible. Maybe it'll be something invisible. There could be a life change for you that nobody else knows about but you and God. But I don't know. I think we've lost that. There again, Mary exuded expectancy. So we're going to move ahead here. We got about 8 more minutes or so. We're going to move ahead from our chosen text. From the beginning of Jesus' life to the beginning of his public ministry. Can you launch ahead? Where are we? The site of his first miracle. Where are we? Cana. There's a wedding. And what happened? They ran out of wine. I love this. So they're there, and Mary, I love this. I don't know what it is about. This is, to God be the glory. Somebody's praying. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman. Have you always found that fascinating? I don't think he meant like, woman. He wouldn't have spoken to his dear mother like that, would he? Woman. What does that have to do with me? My hour's not yet. And folks, this is so significant. I've preached on this passage. It's been a long time. It's a great passage, but why did she do that? I mean, Jesus is a guest. He's not the caterer. He's not in charge of beverages. They've run out of wine, son. What are you going to do about it? I love this. In fact, she says, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Isn't that awesome? Okay, I've watched this guy the last 33 years. I know what that angel said to me back 33 years ago, or 30 years ago, whatever it was, decade, whatever. I know what he's going to do. I know what he's capable of. I know what's going to happen eternally, because I think Mary had a glimpse into it. But for now, there's no more wine, and whatever he says, do it. Don't you love that? Expectancy. She was told from the beginning, this special young man will be a light of revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of your people, Israel. He turned the water into wine. For starters, that was just the beginning. He went on to preach, teach, heal. He lived, he died, he was buried, he was raised for a purpose. We sang about it. Cross that our sins might be forgiven and that we might be reconciled to God. You see, you wonder how you're going to weave the gospel into a Mother's Day message. There it is, right there. There's the gospel. Lived, died, buried, raised in order that our sins might be forgiven. What do? We repent and we turn. Christ, we acknowledge what he did. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I already said that little piece about humility. Think about this one. A Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. That's good too, isn't it? Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. I just think we don't, I don't know. It's tough. And don't think it's easy for me. It is not easy for me. I don't wake up every day expecting. Some days I wake up and don't expect great things from God. I expect more, you know, heavy news and all of the, hearing a little recap of all the bad things going on in the world. I don't like it, because this is just a, we're just strangers and pilgrims passing through this old world, aren't we? Where Satan is the prince of the power of the air and we're living behind enemy lines. What'd you expect? I'll tell you what it is. Someone came to me and, you know, maybe there's things going on in your life and maybe you're bringing some of this on yourself. But I think we're, you know, we're not children of this world. We're meant for another kingdom. I'm homesick for heaven, aren't you? I love my little grandkids. I've gotten to see them a lot lately. I want to watch them grow up. I'm not ready to go yet. I'm ready, but I'm really, you know, I'm ready, but I'm not ready in the sense that I think there's a lot left to do. Paul said, I'm torn, right? To live as Christ, to die as gain. This ain't my home. Mm-mm. I'm homesick for heaven. Aren't you? Expectancy. One final point. Love this. It's so good. M-O-T-H-E-R. Anybody know what that stands for? So you don't have them up on the, you can't cheat, can you? They're not up on the screen. They're not in your bulletin. Reliability. Reliability. Go to John chapter 19, verse 25. We're jumping ahead. We jumped ahead 30 years. We're jumping ahead 3 more years. I love this. I'll just paraphrase it a little bit. Okay. Standing by the cross of Jesus was whom? Mary. And a few other people, but not too many people. You could count them on your hand. She had to sit there. I know some of you, I'm sure, and my heart breaks for you. You've buried children, and it's crushing. No one should have to do that. And my heart aches. Can't imagine. But can you imagine her standing there watching her son crucified, blood mingling down and dripping down? She was there. One of the few people who was there. She gloried at his birth. But because of who she was, she also grieved at his death. There's more to it. It's a great story. That'd be a great story. He talks later to John and says, take care of her. I think history says she ended up in Ephesus. John was the pastor at that church in Ephesus before they threw him out on Patmos. And reliability. While others ran for cover, some even denied knowing him, Mary stood there. And it really wasn't a thing she could do. To watch history play out and eternity play out. M stands for morality. O stands for obedience. T stands for testimony. H stands for humility. E stands for expectancy. And R stands for reliability. We'll leave it there. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. We thank you so much for Mary. We look forward to spending a little time chatting with her one day in heaven. Thank you for her faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that somehow just a little bit of it could rub off on us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing.